It's the last day of August, everybody, 2020. We're all heading back to school if we're not there already. And welcome to the week before Labor Day. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Yeah, it's August 31st already. Can you believe it? And I live in Maine. Most of you know that. And now my wife's getting all concerned that winter is coming, like Game of Thrones. So because it's been chilly out the last couple of days, but I hope we still have plenty of summer left. And we have a fun show for you today. This is such good news. The Nat 2020 National Teacher of the Year is with us. That's from the person selected from CCSSO, the Council of Chief State School Officers. Okay, and to Carolyn and Olympia over there, thanks for setting up the show. We got Tabitha Rusproy with us, and Tabitha, which I love, okay, is an early education teacher, a preschool teacher, okay, and I am just thrilled to have on the show literally the first early childhood educator that's been named Teacher of the Year. And I'm going to bring you on the show in just a second, Tabitha. But, man, that is just fabulous. And not only does it recognize Tabitha, but it recognizes that whole end of the spectrum of education. And I think it's really important. So it's going to be a really nice conversation with the National Teacher of the Year from CCSSO, Tabitha. Okay, let me just get a little homework done before we bring her on. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org. That is our website here. Okay, we have our schedule. We put that up there every Saturday. And you can scroll down the homepage, see the shows for the last 2 weeks, what's scheduled, what is already run, the links to them. We have you can go back to 2011 and all the past shows that we've done. And we have a nice little news section over there if you want to see what's going on. But more importantly, our other website, which is the home of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Our website address is kind of an acronym of that, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. If you're interested in, pardon my cough, if you're interested in equity, all right, I hope that you will go over to ace-ed.org. It is free to educators. It includes a subscription to our magazine, which is really good. It's an online journal called Equity and Access, and we want to have your voice in there, okay, to talk about equity, and not just talk about it, but to create solutions. If you're thinking of good solutions, please come on over, join with us. It's over at ace-ed.org. Okay, enough on that. Hello, Tabitha. My name's Larry Jacobs, and welcome to the show, oh mighty Teacher of the Year.
Hi, Larry. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, are you kidding me? It's my pleasure, my honor, my dear. It's so great. This must be so cool for you, right? Wow.
Yes, it's an incredible honor. Yeah.
It is. Wow, it's going to be quite a year. And actually, we'll get into this a little more, but normally the National Teacher of the Year travels all over the place to talk and all that. And, of course, travels a little bit cut back this year, of course, of the pandemic, and we'll talk about that. But, boy, it is just great to have you. And I wanted to just tell us where you teach, but I want to make note, I did look it up, Winfield, Kansas, which I had never heard of. When we go over this, it was named for Winfield Scott, the general. I didn't know that. Okay? Did you know that? Did you know that?
Yes,
Are you from there? Are you
and
from Winfield?
I am not from Winfield. I am from close by, not too far away, but there was actually somebody stuffed the ballot box to get it to be named Winfield. This is in one of our history books. The name it really should have been named was Lagonda.
What? Lagonda?
Lagonda. Yeah, I don't know.
Is that an Indian? What is that? What is that? What kind of word is that?
I'm not actually sure. I don't know if it's somebody else's name, but I read it in a Winfield history book.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
About that. Well, welcome to from both Lagonda and Winfield, Kansas, Tabitha Rusproy, everybody. Okay. It's just good. That's funny. That's incredible. Okay. Tell us what you do. Okay. You're an early childhood teacher. And I have a note here that your classroom is usually housed. This is so interesting. In a nursing home. okay? But, you know, there's COVID going on right now everywhere in the country. Talk about what you do and your school and your classroom, and then we'll get into the details about it. Congrats again. This is great. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, my preschool is a public school classroom that is housed inside of a nursing home and retirement village local here. Our program has been open for 2 years, and this year we'll actually be back in our early learning center because of the pandemic. We definitely want to keep the residents there safe, and we're mourning the loss of that relationship, obviously, but we're looking for ways to keep them involved. But we every day have grandmas and grandpas in our classrooms.
Those lucky kids.
Mm-hmm.
Those lucky kids. Okay. And you know, what a great idea and what a fabulous way for the seniors to have a great input on the lives of children. I realize the pandemic's this year and that's going to be a little bit curtailed. Okay. But that's a fabulous idea. Was that your idea? Who came up with this idea?
No, it's not an original idea.
I love it.
There's
it's original to me.
Kindergarten. Yeah. Well, that's good. There's a kindergarten in Kansas that is also inside of a nursing home. And this is a more popular idea, I think, in coastal cities and also probably overseas. But we are the first public pre-K in Kansas inside of a nursing home.
There you go. I rest my case. That's unbelievable. Okay. And what school district do you work for if it's a public school? What school district is it?
Yeah, it's Winfield Public Schools, USD 465.
Congratulations to them. That's fantastic, to your school board, your superintendent, and everybody you work with. I love that idea. And I must ask you, and again, it's an odd year, how do the seniors react to this?
Well, like, with great joy, honestly. I didn't realize how seamless it would be, how seamless it would be to get in there and make them a part of the fabric of our classroom. But we have volunteers coming out our ears that come in our classroom multiple times a day, and we do things with them around the nursing home facility too, and it brings them purpose and joy, and it's incredible.
And take it the other way, it brings their wisdom and learning to the children.
Okay? Absolutely, it's untapped.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wow, it is untapped. It is very untapped. Are any of the nursing home residents ex-educators?
Oh yes, actually, quite a few.
Wow. Wow. I'm just, boy, you are, this is a great conversation. I love this whole thing, okay? And, you know, I said this at the beginning of the show. And by the way, I do invite you to join our consortium, okay, over at ace-ed.org. I hope you take a minute and do that, because we're really trying to make sure all kids have a good access and equity in the situation, et cetera. We'd love a voice like yours over there. You know, besides the fact I'm sure you're a wonderful teacher, we're going to get into that, okay? And obviously you work in a good place. This is your selection is really important, because we place a lot of emphasis, and most people, if you think about it, remember their high school teachers, because that's kind of the place of embarkation, so to speak. That's where you leave from and go into the big world, okay? But obviously, and I know this for a fact, the preschool, the foundation layers, so to speak, are far more important. I'm going to say it that way. Okay, they are far more important. What you do, okay, creates that foundation. Okay, that's how important that is. And I, again, congratulate your school district for having a public pre-K. Just talk about, and to me, again, it's so important, how your selection changes the perception of education, okay? That moves the conversation around preschool and early learning. Again, a key thing. Tabitha?
Well, you know, I think that for a long time, my pre-K coworkers across the country have struggled and fought for legitimacy in the K-12
world.
Darn
right. Darn right.
You know, not only because, you know, it's newer. It's newer to the spectrum of education, preschool is, but it's a lot older in some places than many people think. But I think also people think, because we talk to little people all day, that we maybe aren't as interested in educational policy, or, you know, we're just this place of joy and happiness, and we're not into the bigger scheme of things. But we are. We absolutely are. And what we do is so important and critical to the success of students that this is just a step forward for our field of education.
It really and truly is. And again, I'm going to keep saying congratulations, because this is a whole new world. To have an early childhood educator named National Teacher of the Year, again, that's fabulous. You must be something. Where were you trained? How were you trained? Are you a 4-year graduate of Kansas State or some such thing? What's your background?
I actually went to Southwestern College. Southwestern College, which is actually in Winfield. It's a private Methodist university. I had an incredible experience there. I moved away for several years, and then I came back to this area because I love it so much. And my master's, which I'm near completion in, is from Fort Hays State University, also
a
great
Fort
school.
Hays. Yeah, Fort Hays mm-hmm. is a great education department. I've met some of their professors, as a matter of fact.
Yes, incredible.
And I've actually had them on the show. I don't remember their names offhand.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a good education department over there at Fort Hays, I got to tell you. Okay, there was something they did. I can't remember now. You caught me off guard. There was something they were doing that really, really impressed me. And I remember I brought them on the show, and we had a nice conversation about it. But it was about 3 years ago. Okay, so I apologize for not remembering that. But I can tell you Fort Hays is a darn good school. That's great. Congratulations. When will you get your master's?
Well, hopefully soon. I'm about, six credits away from finishing.
Well, you know, had you chosen to go to the University of Larry, okay, my university, mm-hmm. I would have given you the master's degree already. Do you realize you're National Teacher of the Year? You're the National Teacher of the Year. You don't even have your master's degree yet. That's incredible.
I know. I must have been real impressive in person.
Yeah. I haven't met you in person, but you're real impressive over the phone and on this show. I got to tell you, how did CCSO find out about you?
Well, I was named Kansas Teacher of the Year first last November,
Let me change that. How did Kansas find out about Tabitha?
Oh, okay. Well,
let's go back that far.
You know, locally, my principal Desiree Groney, she nominated me. For the regional awards. And so, I mean, I guess that's the catalyst for it all. I was pretty involved, though, at the state level with our NEA, with the Kansas NEA. And mm-hmm. I definitely knew some people around the state who knew who I was. But I think that's what really sort of put me on the map, was that nomination from my principal.
Well, and what is the name of the school? Now, I know it was in a nursing home, but there is a school involved, literally a school, right? Your principal.
Yes.
What school mm-hmm. is it? Let's give them a little credit.
It's called Winfield Early Learning Center.
And how many kids go there?
About 250.
And all kids in Winfield are entitled to go here. It's a public school.
Yes, absolutely. We do free 4-year-old preschool for any 4-year-old, regardless of income or ability. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I love this. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Good old Kansas strikes again. This does look like Kansas again. I got to tell you, Dorothy. All right, it looks like Kansas. You can go home again. It's really, really cool. Okay. What you just said struck me. We are very interested, as you probably already figured out, with our consortium. Mm-hmm. And our magazine is called Equity and Access, and it's an online journal mm-hmm. over there. Okay? And you'll like it if you go over there. And, access is key, and giving access to every child in Winfield is really, really mm-hmm. something. And talk about that. And you probably have spoken to some of their elementary school teachers, okay? But mm-hmm. to give every child access to early childhood education means, as I said before, and everybody knows this, they will have a much stronger foundation in their ABCs and in arithmetic and all that sort of stuff, all right? And talk about the importance of access to all children, okay, and, mm-hmm. and how that reflects itself as they go through school.
So absolutely. We think that access is very important. We made a commitment in the last, you know, 2 decades, 20 years ago, to make sure that this would happen in Winfield. The kindergarten teachers that I speak to report that the students who have our pre-K experience are more equipped not only with their academic knowledge, but in their ability to self-regulate, to be a part mm-hmm. of a team, to follow directions, and to generally have more success in the classroom, but we're also able to identify needs earlier. So that way we can get them ready ready for kindergarten, truly, that kindergarten readiness piece that people talk about all the time. We are able to get them to a place where they can better learn.
It's important. And actually, I'm going to ask you an interesting question because I am far from an early childhood educator. I like to think I know a little bit about it, but believe me, I only skim the top of the iceberg. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What skills do they need to go to kindergarten? What are you actually teaching them? What are those skills that make them so ready for real kindergarten as opposed to pre-K?
So we definitely follow along with the Kansas Early Learning Standards, which are, you know, huge, and they cover a lot of territory. But for me, the biggest skills that are important would be that, like, those pre-reading skills, foundational phonemic awareness. Like, do we know the letter sounds of words? Can we begin to write words and pretend to write? Do we know rhyming words, and can we do silly nonsense rhyming? Can we do things like understand number sense? So not just be able to count and identify groups of objects, but do I actually understand the relationship between numbers? Those things are pretty foundational.
Wow.
But most important of all is that self-regulation, is that ability to self-regulate and be in a place where you can be in a part of your brain that can access those critical thinking skills that you need to be successful in school.
Wow, that is a great answer. So let me swing over then. Self-regulation. And by the way, I want you to know something. I did learn to read. I can still picture the first day I learned the letter A, okay? And that was in first grade.
Oh.
Okay, now, I'm a lot
grade.
Older than
okay.
you, so ask your grandfather, okay? But I kindergarten, to what I remember of it, started when I was 5 years old, was approximately 2,000 years ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember being read to, and I remember arts and crafts, kind of with clay and that kind of stuff. And I remember they gave me horrific tasting room temperature milk in a stinky plastic carton. I remember that as well. Okay. But this was in Philadelphia, okay, where I grew up. But but I don't remember really learning it as readiness for real school, if I may, real learn. I don't know how to say that the right way. Okay. And to hear what you just said is so darn important in terms of teachers understanding and teacher training. And, you know, I was a social studies teacher in high school and middle school. All right.
Mm.
And as I said, I'm far removed, okay, from early childhood education. All right. And I think there's a vast majority of teachers who understand the importance of early childhood and especially pre-K, but do not understand what goes into it, what makes pre-K so important. So your explanation was really, really good. Okay, it really just all makes a lot of sense. But you said self-regulation, and you know this term, okay? It has a lot to do with, so, in my opinion, I might be wrong here, social-emotional learning, all right?
Absolutely.
And the ability to control yourself, et cetera. You're not a wild Indian anymore doing whatever mommy says you can do. You're in with a group all of a sudden, all right? And just talk about social-emotional learning and the importance of that, if, in fact, I'm correct, at that early age.
Okay. Well, we know that, you know, children's brains are developing most rapidly by between 0 and 5 years old.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We know that also, you know, research tells us those patterns that we wire their brains for in early childhood are going to stay with them throughout their entire life. So we want to produce, you know, children from the public school system, from the private school system, anywhere, that are equipped to manage the big feelings that are a part of being a human, right? And it's more than just like following directions. It's about those interpersonal skills, how to kindly interact with your friends, how to think critically, not just about academic content, but about understanding your place in the world and how what you do affects others. And that really, really, and I keep saying self-regulation because it starts with that ability, right? Like you said, kids are coming to us really being the center of their own universe. So
yeah.
Preschool is giving them the opportunity to realize, hey, there are people outside of me. I can build this skill called empathy, which is this potential that I have inside of me, but it's not guaranteed.
And as a curious question, I'm just mighty teacher of the year, Tabitha. Okay. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
Are kids more learned in pre-K if they have older brothers and sisters? Or are they better off if they're the top, they're the firstborn coming in, like blank slates? What's the word on that?
It really varies, right? It really varies from what I've seen. You know, if they have older siblings, sometimes they also have kind of bad habits, right?
Yeah, of course.
They've picked up from their older siblings, like I did. But also, kids who are only children tend to have a lot more attention, right? Not just from their moms and dads, but a lot of times from older caregivers too, or aunts and uncles. And a lot of times those kids have really high intelligence, and just because of the amount of attention that they've been given. And so they're a little bit able better to grasp some of the concepts, but sometimes they're a little bit spoiled too. You know the kids I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think you've you must have found a video of me or something when I was in kindergarten. Did you? One of those kids. All right. There you go. How old's your son, daughter? How old?
I don't have any kids, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had a video of you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had a clone of me running around your house. I'm sorry. God help you if that's the case at age 5.
I know.
It's all I can tell you, or 3 or whatever I was. I'm curious, because you're switching back. Okay, you're switching out of the nursing home, unfortunately. Okay, the senior center. Okay, and how is Winfield going back to school? And we can talk particularly about preschool, but what's going on in Winfield with the pandemic, and everybody's trying their best, and none of it's right, none of it's wrong. We have no idea what works. But what's Winfield doing?
So thankfully, we're a rural community, so our numbers are very low compared to
same where I live.
Yes.
Yeah.
So because of that, our school board felt confident that we could start in phase one, which is we will all be back in person 5 days a week, except we will all be wearing masks. Students, all ages, students and staff. We have tons of safety precautions in place, like, windows open, new air filters, a fan going, new routines.
Gee,
I mean, everything that we can do. They're really, they're really dedicated to making that to making it safe for kids to be there.
Yeah, and it's going to be easier, I think. I think it's going to be easier to handle this with younger kids than it is with older kids who think they know exactly what they're doing. Okay, and I wish the school good luck, okay, at this middle and high school level, where everybody thinks they're smarter than the principal, the kids.
Right.
Okay. So, but you got to be really careful about this. And how are you going to – you said this earlier how are you going to get the seniors involved? Because you said you were thinking of ways to do that, even though we don't want them to get anywhere close to kids with COVID or anything, or anybody with COVID, I might add. But go ahead.
So we have actually a few of our residents have already gotten equipped with Zoom on their own computers.
Great.
Figuring that out and are excited to do things. Like, we have a few volunteers who would come in and read us stories or – would come and sing with our class. And so we're figuring out ways to make that still happen. And I won't actually be in the classroom this year. I have a long-term sub, but I am working very closely with my sub, who will be working on those relationships for sure.
Well, that brings up the next question. Thank you for that answer. What will you be doing this year? Because I said it before, normally in your role as National Teacher of the Year, okay, you would be traveling all over the place, speaking at conferences, meeting with educators, associations, et cetera. Are you doing that via Zoom, or how are you going to spend your days this year? Go ahead. Go.
So it's estimated that I'll have around 150 speaking engagements, but currently most of them are virtual. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. That's why I had to not be in the classroom. But a lot of them are virtual right now, but I am doing some in-person events that are in driving distance, right? We will continue to evaluate based on safety, what the recommendations are, but I am prepared to speak a lot this year.
You are going to speak a lot this year. And where, just as a couple of examples that pop to mind, away from Winfield, where, or, the surrounding area, Wichita or whatever, where will you be speaking? Do you know?
So in the surrounding areas?
No. Further out. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So definitely I'm Washington, D.C., Idaho, Arkansas, Ohio. Those are just the places that I can think off the top of my head that I have scheduled already.
And what a shame that you can't go visit all these places, okay?
I know.
I don't know how well-traveled you are, but what a treat that would be to go out and you know, see all these wonderful educators and see the areas they live in all over the country. I hope by January, which is still going to be your term of office, so to speak, okay, all this is behind us and you'll be able to see a lot more of the country and a lot more of the people up front. Not necessarily shake hands, but certainly tap elbows.
Absolutely. I keep telling people, promise me a trip later when it's safe, right?
Yeah.
Like, invite me back.
Yeah, but you'll have a good time on your computer, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I just wish you could. I hope you might, okay, actually be able to do this. It's just such an odd year, okay? We all have to make these crazy changes, but, but what's good about it is that this is a major, major change to move someone in early learning. What do you want to do over the long run? I mean, how long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching. This is my 11th year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're a young woman. You're probably in your young 30s, okay?
Yes.
And, right? And you are very articulate, and you're very good at what you do. Okay, obviously. Okay, but you can hear that in the way you speak and the way you articulate things. Okay, what do you hope to do over the long run?
Honestly, my pie in the sky.
I sound like your father. I don't mean to sound like
yeah.
that, but I mean professionally. Okay, because you obviously have a lot to offer, and of course you have a lot to offer to children in a classroom. Okay, but your expertise may go beyond that. What is your goal?
So my goal is, in whatever way I can, to advocate for universal pre-K. You know, that's sort of my ultimate goal. And I love being in the classroom. And I have always said I can't imagine myself anywhere else. But this year has sort of opened up my eyes already to all of the
big
different jobs in education. Yeah, it really is. And I've never really seen myself as an administrator per se, but I could definitely see myself in the advocacy field. Now, that being said, my heart is in the classroom, right? That's where all the good stories come from. That's where all the feel good moments are. That's where all the challenges are met and accomplished. And I would have to be connected in some way. But my ultimate goal is really to just be in any position where I can advocate for what's best for students and what's best for teachers.
And what's best for students, and you said it a minute ago, is universal pre-K. That's what's best for students. Okay? Then I can go period, end of discussion. That's what's best for students. All right? Mm-hmm. Without question. And why do you feel so strongly about that? You want to be an advocate. Why would you? And I agree with you, but I'm just asking you to articulate it. Okay, why do you feel so strongly about that?
I have seen quality pre-K programs change the course of not only student life, but family life. And, you know, a lot of people often say things like, you know, school is not childcare. And you're right. It's absolutely not. It is so much more than a place to just drop your children. But we do serve a purpose in our community, right?
Yes.
And that purpose is like why public schools were founded, to create equity in our communities, to close gaps. And one of those purposes is, too, to be a place for students to go when their families can't educate them because of work or other barriers in their lives. And so I think that the more that we can work not only with students but with families, which is something that's a lot more common in the early childhood realm, the better off our communities are going to be in the long run. And, you know, somebody said to me a few weeks ago, the politicians of tomorrow are in our classroom today.
They're in your classroom. Yeah, they're in your classroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so I was like, all right, we've got work to do, and we need to provide every child. They all have access to the same experience or just similar experiences. And so, you know, that's why I care about it. I definitely care about that, that equity and that long-term commitment to the health of our communities.
Yeah, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. We have a wonderful magazine for our consortium, which gets to 150,000 educators. Would you like to write an article for us about that?
I would love to do that.
We would love to have you. I'm going to email you a email today, and I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Really? Because
I'm
quite serious. Your thoughts and what you're doing is you cannot believe how important it is that you are selected. You're a great teacher, but that you represent the early childhood part of education. Okay, you can, because I deal with education pre-K-12, okay, and into community college, et cetera. And, you know, the fact that we're putting emphasis like this on pre-K is going to make all the difference in the world. You are now the spokesperson. Excuse me. Congratulations, Tabitha.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Thank you so much. Look for an email from me.
Look for an email from
okay.
me. Okay. I really love you to write something or to put that down on paper and give you at least a paper soapbox to talk about all the wonderful things you're doing. Okay. It's great. It's great. Congratulations, and you're going to have fun this year, but have a good school year, and hopefully you'll be able to travel for real and really enjoy even more so what you've been selected to. So thanks, Tabitha.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you are welcome,
thanks,
my dear.
Liz.
Thank you for being the wonderful teacher you are. All right, and you'll hear from me a little bit later today. Okay?
All right. Bye-bye. Great.
Thank you, Tabitha Rosbroy. You're aces. Okay? Straight A's. Thank you. Bye-bye. Tabitha Rosbroy, everybody, CCSSO's National Teacher of the Year. That's Council of Chief State School Officers. Preschool teacher. I love this. Okay, a believer in equity, believer in access, practices what she preaches, okay, has words to say to everyone, and a great representative not only of early childhood education, but of pre-K-12 education. I mean, really fabulous. So thanks, Tabitha. Thank you, CCSSO, ccsso.org, if you want to learn more what your chief state school officers do. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out over at Education Talk, at EduTalk Radio, excuse me. Go over to ace-ed.org. Join with us for equity and access. My name's Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.